You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 25th, 2020, the White House Council of Economic Advisors estimating 13 million Americans, 13 million, will have increased access to health care due to President Trump's executive action. Bet you didn't see that anywhere on the mainstream media. 13 million having new, better health insurance access, better tailored to their health care needs, previously unavailable due to high health care prices and overregulation. Why is it now going to be better? Because the president's reforms to expand short-term, limited-duration health insurance plans, association health plans, and health retirement accounts. Mainstream media is not going to give President Trump even a whisper of that story. You can see this next story coming. Kobe Bryant's widow suing the owner and the pilot of that helicopter that crashed in fog, killing the former Los Angeles Lakers star and their 13-year-old daughter last month. The wrongful death lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court, claiming that the pilot was careless, negligent, by flying in those conditions, should have aborted the flight that killed all nine aboard. And the pilot paid for that mistake with his own life as well. Harvey Weinstein, all right, Harvey Weinstein, convicted of criminal sex act and rape yesterday. Did not get convicted on some of the more serious charges of predatory sexual assault. And he should be serving time right now as I speak in Rikers Island. But on the way to Rikers Island after the conviction, Harvey suddenly had, I got chest pains, my heart is pumping kind of, I need to go to the hospital. They admitted him. They said he's all okay. They're going to keep him there at the prison ward at the hospital, maybe another day or two, and then send him to Rikers Island, and then I'll bet, once again, I got heart problems. This is a story that kind of snuck under the radar screen for many, and he probably was happy, but I'm not going to let it go entirely unnoticed. Former Empire actor Jussie Smollett was back in Chicago this week already, pleading not guilty to new charges accusing him of staging a racist, homophobic attack against himself last year in Chicago. You're right, he made all that, then claimed it was a real attack. Police started investigating, finally decided it was a makeup thing, and they just moved on, and he pled not guilty to 16 counts on the same charge. And then suddenly the Cook County State's Attorney just decided to dismiss the case. Now, some are saying, well, how can you bring Smollett back in for this? Double jeopardy. They say, well, no, he didn't really get prosecuted last time around. And one of those caretakers for Jussie Smollett says, he's obviously frustrated to be dragged through this process again. Yeah, well, we were frustrated to have him drag Chicago PD and Justice Department through his story the first time. Senator Bernie Sanders and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg passing former Vice President Joe Biden in New York State. This new survey shows Sanders with 25% of registered New York Democrat voters, 12% more than he got from that same poll last November. Bloomberg at 21%. Biden, third place, 13%. Now you move to Texas, you find a heads-up battle between Sanders and Biden in a virtual dead heat. But I do not expect that to last. And tonight, there's another Democrat debate in South Carolina, and then the South Carolina caucus for this weekend. Austria and Croatia confirming the first cases of coronavirus continues to spread. They have it in various parts of Europe already. It's already blamed across the world for 2,600 deaths, making 80,000 sick. And yes, even in Italy, they have cases. The death toll is 7,280 sick in Italy. Now, in Italy, there was something that was planned that is going to be canceled. And now maybe some folks who didn't really pay a lot of attention to coronavirus will get involved. This event involved Tom Cruise. They were going to shoot the Mission Impossible series, the latest installment, going to do it in Venice. And now they said, I think we will wait.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers had opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick, sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. To the rock, out on my knees, I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our relationships with Cuba, of course, changed dramatically when Cuba became a communist nation. And we've got a communist nation just 90 miles off our southern tip of Florida. And then, of course, when Russia began to bring in nuclear weapons, I should say, correct that, ballistic missiles. And to his credit, JFK put the embargo on and the Russians blinked. I have always been of the opinion that sometimes it's better to deal with the devil you know than the one you don't know. And so sometimes replacing someone you don't like in a particular situation, you're getting someone else you don't really know that much about them, it might not be that good. Barack Obama, in March 2016, became the first U.S. president to visit Cuba since 1928. 54 years of hostility and embargoes. And in fact, December 17, 2014, Barack Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro announced the beginning of the process of normalizing relations between Cuba and the U.S. They'd been negotiating it secretly in preceding months. Meetings held in both Canada and facilitated by Pope Francis at the Vatican City. Our embassy had been closed and 1961, after Cuba's close alliance with the USSR. The other issue was, Cuba was on our U.S. state-sponsored terrorist list. Well, in April of 2015, the Obama administration announced he would take Cuba off that list. So they opened the door, they started allowing travel, And what did we get in return? What did we get in return? They still have no extradition treaty. A woman wanted for a cop killing has lived out her life in Cuba. No effort to get her back. And so President Trump came in, and in June 16, 2017, canceled the Obama deals with Cuba. In November 2017, some travel restrictions were loosened, which were loosened by the Obama administration, were allowed to resume. New restrictions were placed in some cases. Additional changes made in 2019, but it's still not a fully normal relationship. And there's something else Obama did. The wet foot, dry foot policy. That was started in 1995 under then President Bill Clinton. We had a wave of Cubans fleeing Cuba coming to our shore. The U.S. would turn away those who were intercepted at sea. In other words, they were still, quote, wet foot. But if they were able to get to the U.S. soil, to put their foot down on U.S. soil, they were allowed to stay and eventually become legal residents. The Cuban government has always opposed the wet foot, dry foot, arguing it encouraged people to leave. We have a situation right now. Florida is going to be very critical in this next election. And we have a lot of Cuban Americans in Florida that do not like that the Castro regime has been given more recognition and authority under the Obama administration. And now comes Bernie. Now comes Bernie Sanders. In a 60 Minutes interview over the weekend, and again last night on a CNN town hall meeting, basically praising Fidel Castro. The criticism is already coming from ranks inside the Democrat Party, and specifically among candidates running against Bernie. But first, let's hear how he praised Fidel Castro.
When Fidel Castro first came to power, which was when? 59? Does that sound right?
59, 60.
Okay. You know what he did? He initiated a major literacy program. There was a lot of folks in Cuba at that point who were literate. And he formed the Literacy Brigade. You may read that. He went out and they helped people learn to read and write. You know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing. I have been extremely consistent and critical of all authoritarian regimes all over the world, including Cuba, including Nicaragua, including Saudi Arabia, including China, including Russia. I happen to believe in democracy, not authoritarianism.
I'm going to come back to that last thought. I believe in democracy, not authoritarianism, as Bernie said. But he said because Fidel Castro started a literacy program, he was kind of a good guy. I love the response I saw yesterday from Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Said, yeah, they were shown how they could read and write so they could understand their execution orders to be standing in front of a firing squad. Big deal. Now, I would expect Republicans, of course, to go after Bernie and conservatives. The guy is a socialist. He says, if not communist, but he is close enough, and I don't care what else he wants to call it. We'll come back to his statement in a moment. But right now, the battle is not just from the conservative ranks. It's inside the Democrat Party. And in fact, right on the debate stage, we'll see how this plays out tonight in their new debate in South Carolina. Pete Buttigieg joining the critics. His remarks, after 4 years of looking on in horror as Trump cozied up to dictators, we need a president who will be extremely clear in standing against regimes that violate human rights abroad. We can't risk nominating someone who doesn't recognize this. In other words, he still sees that Bernie is praising Fidel Castro and his tyranny and his reign of terror inside Cuba. And, of course, Buttigieg wants to tie him into Donald Trump, meeting with North Korean President Kim Jong-un or Russian President Putin. When we broke through and had relations reestablished with China, it was Richard Nixon that did it. And it was my opinion then, it's my opinion now, that that was the only politician at that time who could make that leap. Anyone else would be considered a communist, a sellout. Richard Nixon was able to break through the barrier and began to start a dialogue and relations because he'd been such a hardliner against communism. Trump has had to meet, shake hands, share dinners and so forth with some of these dictators as part of foreign state policy. Obama did not have to do that with Cuba unless he wanted to. They were a terrorist state. We had no relations with them, but he decided he wanted to open that door. So I don't hear Buttigieg criticizing Obama for what he did in that process, but Bernie's going to be a fair target for them. And he's not the only one doing it. You also have former Vice President Biden criticizing Bernie for praising Fidel Castro. And is he forgetting, as Vice President under Obama, is he forgetting when I just spent time going through the history with you about what Obama did to reestablish relationships with Cuba and fly down to Cuba and sit with Raul Castro at a baseball game, smiling and laughing and eating popcorn and drinking soda? But Biden, fighting for his political life at this point, has got to charge in and accuse that Bernie is a sellout to Cuba. You know what Biden did when he was with the Obama administration? The former vice president said, in defending the policy, "I've had a chance to meet every leader of every country in the hemisphere, and the single act beginning a normalized relationship with Cuba has lifted an enormous burden off of all of them. It's paying important dividends." And well after that trip, and after the Bidens left the White House, he continued defending Obama's policy on Cuba. He wrote in an American Quarterly op-ed, December 2017, "The president has rolled back the travel and commerce that afforded Cuban entrepreneurs and families greater independence from the communist state." That's Biden. And now he's attacking Bernie for saying, well, Castro did do some good things. And Biden served under the president who went to meet with the Castros and give them his blessing. There's a Democrat representative, Debbie Marcoso Powell, in Florida. And she says, as the first South American immigrant member of Congress, proudly representing thousands of Cuban Americans, I find Bernie Sanders' comments on Castro's Cuba absolutely unacceptable. The regime murdered, jailed dissidents, caused unspeakable harm to too many South Florida families. And it still oppresses its people, the press, and a free society. So back to Bernie on the stage at the town hall meeting last night, saying why he had good things to say about Castro. Let's pick up where he was saying what he prefers and what he endorses, because something is not connecting.
I happen to believe in democracy, not authoritarianism. But, you know, you can't say China is another example. All right? China is an authoritarian country, becoming more and more authoritarian. But can anyone deny? I mean, the facts are clear. That they have taken more people out of extreme poverty than any country in history. Do I get criticized because I say that? That's the truth. So that is the fact. End of discussion.
So to the Democrats.
I don't buy that China's taken more people out of poverty. Like, where has he come up with that? I started looking today. I don't see any stats, anything that would say China has taken more people out of poverty. Maybe what it did is move them to another area of poverty. The only nation that has stepped forward and really lifted lifestyle, income, survivability is this country. The very country where Bernie Sanders is running to be president as a socialist. As a socialist. He would have you believe that if we follow my route, we could do better than China. We can lift more people out of poverty. And he sits there and says, I believe in democracy. He doesn't believe in democracy. He believes in exactly what he said he didn't, authoritarianism. Well, we'll see how this debate shakes out tonight. And we're going to spend time in a few moments sharing some information from Thomas Sowell on the issue of socialism. But I do want to take a quick break, and I want to come back and tell you that Biden is getting so lost he doesn't even know what office he's running for. And that he's negotiating climate deals with dead people. Biden. I see dead people negotiating.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, you have to give credit to these candidates on the campaign trail. I mean, it's hectic. It's ever-changing. Their staff redirects them on something they were going to go and do and then say, no, that's going to be not that beneficial to us, or we got something better, or something has surfaced that we got to deal with now. If you're going to be a political candidate, you might think you're in charge. Generally, you're not. You're at the whim of your staff, and hopefully they're making good decisions. But, of course, a lot of it still falls upon you. You got to convince the public to vote for me. Regardless of what they do, you got to be able to get up there and say, I'm your guy. And one of the candidates in the Democrat field right now has been having a real difficult time. I don't know if there's some early Alzheimer's setting in. I'm not trying to make a joke here. I don't know if he's just more exhausted or if he's just out of touch in many ways. I'm talking about former Vice President Joe Biden. In a campaign stop in South Carolina last night, he misspoke about what office he was seeking. He said, I had the soundbite I was going to pull inside not to, but here's what he said. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other Biden. What other Biden? And you're a Democrat candidate for the presidency right now, not the U.S. Senate. Did something not connect at that moment for him? And he had still another gaffe. He was talking about his experience in negotiating the Paris Climate Agreement. He was detailing how he helped fight against climate change, the kind of thing that the Democrats want to see, and how he worked with the Obama administration, and they worked on that Paris deal. He said, I'm the guy that came back after a meeting with Deng Xiaoping, making the case that I believe China would join if we put pressure on them. Deng Xiaoping, or Xi Jinping, maybe the better pronunciation. If he did that with Deng Xiaoping, it's pretty interesting. Because Deng Xiaoping died in 1997. The Paris Agreement was late 2015. He was talking about the current president, Xi Jinping. The one he's talking about has been dead for 23 years. Don't even get me started on him and gun control when he said at one point, who in God's name needs 100 rounds and a bullet? 100 rounds and a bullet? All right, if he's suffering, I wish him better and let him be. Put him back out to pasture. Let's take a break. When we come back, The True Understanding of Socialism by Thomas Sowell. Educational segment coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, in this program, I don't just do politics, if you've listened at all. And on top of that, I try to bring a higher level of learning from time to time, aside from my stupidity, and rely on people who are very intelligent and share their stories because it will raise your understanding as well as mine. Some of you may know who Thomas Sowell is, S-O-W-E-L-L. He's basically labeled as an American economist and social theorist, currently at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He was born in North Carolina in 1930, but grew up in Harlem, New York. Dropped out of high school, served in the U.S. Marine Corps during the Korean War. Later got a bachelor's degree, graduating magna cum laude from Harvard University in 1958, a master's degree from Columbia University in 59, in 68, a doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago. He's worked with numerous think tanks. He served on the faculties of Cornell University, University of California, Los Angeles. This is, again, a man who was born in the 1930s in North Carolina. His father died shortly before he was born. His mother, a housemaid, already had four children. A great aunt and her two grown daughters adopted him and raised him. And in his autobiography, titled A Personal Odyssey, he wrote that his childhood encounters with white people were so limited that he did not know that blonde was a hair color. And when he was 9, his family moved from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Harlem, part of the great migration of African Americans from the South to the North. And as I said, that's where he went to high school. He had to qualify for the one he went to. It was a prestigious academic high school. He was the first in his family to study beyond the 6th grade, but he was forced to drop out of school at age 17 because of financial difficulties, problems in his home. He worked at a machine shop, later a delivery man, tried out for the Brooklyn Dodgers, drafted in the military during the Korean War and assigned to the Marine Corps. And after he came out, he went back to night school and started working on his education. This is a guy that if anyone wanted to say, how would you like free? We'll just give it to you free. You don't have to do all of that work. We're going to give you free education. We're going to give you free housing. We're going to give you everything free. You just sit in the corner. We'll bring the check to you. And we might come around and pick you up every 4 years to go vote for us. This is the kind of guy that certainly could have been subject to that. But he had self-esteem. He had his own view of what he could do in this world, with or without anyone's help. And he worked at it. And he worked at it. So when you see Bernie Sanders last night on a town hall meeting, surrounded by wide-eyed, gaping, young faces, just lapping up every word he says that's going to give them something for nothing, you see a big difference. Just listen to Bernie Sanders.
Given the fact that I've spent my entire adult life fighting against everything that Trump stands for, trust me, we're a little bit different. Here's what I want to do. Chris, I'm going to give this to you. I thought that question might come up. All right, here it is. This is a list which will be on our website tonight of how we pay for every program that we have developed. Okay. But let me give you some examples. Okay, you asked a good question. Here's the answer. You're right. I believe that we should make public colleges and universities tuition free because in the year 2020, when we live in a competitive global economy, I want all of our kids, regardless of income, to be able to get that higher education, college or trade schools. By the way, I also believe we should cancel all student debt in America. Okay. Now, you're smiling and you say, well, that's a great idea. How does he pay for it, right? Did I read your mind on that one? Okay. Yes, and the answer is, I'll tell you exactly how we pay for it. We pay for it through a rather modest tax on Wall Street speculation. That is how we pay for that. All right?
Yeah, and there are additional taxes. I mean, it's not going to be free, but Bernie Sanders free and the crowd erupts. Don't you imagine Thomas Sowell would have liked to have had a little bit easier time? He's sometimes called a black conservative, but he says, I prefer not to be labeled that. He said, I prefer not to have any labels, but I suspect that libertarian would suit me better than many others, although I disagree with the libertarian movement on a number of things. He writes primarily on economic subjects, generally advocating a free market approach to capitalism, not socialism, not giveaways. He wrote a piece titled Socialism for the Uninformed. One line, let's go too deep into the copy right away, is what you just heard Bernie Sanders stating. The one line is written by Dr. Thomas Sowell, reads, the great promise of socialism is something for nothing. It is one of the signs of today's dumbed-down education that so many college students seem to think that the cost of their education should and will be paid by raising taxes on, quote, the rich. That's exactly what you heard Bernie say last night. And they bought it and they ate it up. And this article was written by Dr. Thomas Sowell May of 2016, when Bernie was running at that time against Hillary. And yet, his clear understanding of socialism is just as clear now as it was then. Dr. Soule, in the beginning of the article, says, socialism sounds great, it has always sounded great, and it will probably always continue to sound great. It is only when you go beyond rhetoric and start looking at hard facts that socialism turns out to be a big disappointment, if not a disaster. While throngs of young people are cheering loudly for avowed socialist Bernie Sanders, socialism has turned oil-rich Venezuela into a place where there are shortages of everything, from toilet paper to beer, where electricity keeps shutting down, where there are long lines of people hoping to get food, people complaining they cannot feed their families. He said, but people attribute income inequality to capitalists exploiting workers, as Karl Marx claimed. And those who do claim that never seem to get around to testing that belief against facts, such as the fact that none of the Marxist regimes around the world has ever had as high a standard of living for working people as there is in many industrialized countries. I want to go to that soundbite from China that we ran earlier. When Bernie is talking about how great China is and how that compares to what I just read from Dr. Thomas Soule, when you talk about high standard of living, none in a Marxist country compares to what you see in the capitalist. But listen to Bernie.
I happen to believe in democracy, not authoritarianism. But, you know, you can't say China is another example. All right? China is an authoritarian country, becoming more and more authoritarian. But can anyone deny, I mean, the facts are clear, that they have taken more people out of extreme poverty than any country in history? Do I get criticized because I say that? That's the truth. So that is the fact. End of discussion.
So to the Democrats.
And I don't buy that. I don't know where he comes up with that. But I do know what Dr. Thomas Soule had pointed out in his paper. He said back in 1948, when inflation had rendered meaningless the minimum wage established a decade earlier, the unemployment rate among 16 to 17-year-old black males was under 10%. But after the minimum wage was raised repeatedly to keep up with inflation, the unemployment rate for black males that age was never under 30%. For more than 20 consecutive years, from 1971 through 94. All of those pushing, and I'm stepping aside from his article, all of those pushing for minimum wage increases and so forth, minimum standards, rates and so forth, when they were trying it back then, all they did was push those black males, teenagers, unemployment rate went higher. They had been at 10%, suddenly they're 30% unemployment. And he added, in many of those years, the unemployment rate for black youngsters that age exceeded 40%. And for a couple of years, 50%. He concluded his article, none of this is rocket science, but you do have to stop and think. And that is what too many of our schools and our colleges are failing to teach their students to do. Dr. Thomas Soule. Not only are the schools and colleges failing, but socialist agenda politicians are still selling the same BS. I got something you want to hear when we continue. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You will not believe this. Bill Cosby's spokesman, the spokesman for Bill Cosby, serving time in prison for sexual assault, complained about Harvey Weinstein's conviction, saying it's a sad day in the American judicial system. He said it's not shocking these jurors were not sequestered, which gave them access to media coverage and the sentiments of public opinion. There's no way you would have believed that Mr. Weinstein was going to receive a fair and impartial trial. Would he say the same thing about Roger Stone when the forewoman of the jury was anti-Trump to begin with, ran as a Democrat congressional candidate at one point, and also other members of the jury were anti-Trump? But here he wants to come out, Bill Cosby's spokesman, and say it's a sad day in the American judicial system because Harvey Weinstein got convicted. It's a sad day that he wasn't convicted on more charges. I have told you before, I have several friends who are part of the LGBTQ community. I don't know about T community. I should withdraw that. But LGBT. And that's their lifestyle. It's not mine. I know what the Bible says. I'm not going to get into that discussion. As I've said repeatedly, I have enough trouble making sure I'm right with God rather than me judging someone else. But there's a feminist lesbian woman who says she is quitting the LGBT community. And because of the increasingly intolerant action by pro-transgender and, quote, woke activists towards lesbians. She said, I generally voted Democrat. I wasn't really a fan of Hillary. I didn't really like Bernie. She said, but conservatives are more tolerant, more supportive of free speech. She says, I knew Trump was going to win because there was so much attention on him, whether it was negative or positive. He says some dumb stuff. You know he does. Let's be real. He says some misogynistic stuff sometimes. But his policies, some of them, I agree with. I don't think there should be open borders. I don't think that's good. I don't think our people should be starving and killing each other in other countries. But like, why is it our fault? We should focus on what's happening here. Fix ourselves. And she said, I have left-wingers constantly trying to get me to shut up. They tell me to shut up. Every single one of them is telling me. My friends have been messaging me, telling me, just quit talking. Just stop it. And then she adds this. She said, the atmosphere has become so intolerant that some leftists are now claiming, well, she's not really a lesbian, she's bisexual. In other words, I thought we were not supposed to declare what someone ought. It's up to them to make their own declaration. But now she's saying she's being called out by other members inside that community. And she adds that most gays and lesbians are afraid of woke leftists, the ones who think they know what you should be or how you should be and perform. She has a YouTube channel that she's had this stuff on. Her name is Ariella Scarcella, I guess. I'm not trying to give her publicity. I'm just trying to share her views because what she is saying about intolerance and harassment is evident if you are a conservative. But she's seeing it now even inside that community. She says, never in my life have I been more canceled, tortured, tormented, harassed than by members of my own community. Never have I witnessed liberal, mentally ill individuals latching themselves onto the LGBT community without actually being LGBT, but doing so for the sake of oppression points, external validation, and sympathy. Never have I seen such disrespect from younger LGBT people to the older lesbian, gay, bisexual who paved the way for us. And she adds this, we've become so obsessed with validating everybody. How did we not see this coming? This community has become so ridiculously intolerant while preaching love that for the first time in a decade, LGBT acceptance is down. Anyone who goes against the grain and thinks for themselves is immediately outcast. And her closing lines, that's not a community. That's a hive-minded cult. No, you cannot be gay and support Trump without them calling you out any more than you could be a minority color. You can't even be a white woman because Hillary says you don't know how to vote. Your husband or spouse told you to do it. No, let's resist at all stages anybody that tells us they know what is best for us. You make that determination. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Let your friends, family, and neighbors, and even enemies know. Same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.